Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Full disclosure, Johnny's topic, it is a very good one, and he appreciates you all, small hobbyists, part-timers, and we want to talk about and appreciate you guys. And I guess we can kind of cover, if we had to cut our business down to, say, 8 to 10 hours a week or something, like kind of what we would do. I guess I'll go first. If I had to cut my hours back but continue reselling, it's tough, right? If you have one day, I think having one day to do everything is harder than having two split half days. So I'm going to go the route of I have 2 4-hour days. One day I'm going to use to source, the other day I will use for everything else. So one of my 4-hour days, I will be running my routes, going to new stores, figuring out what stores, trying to build relationships. So as you can build relationships, you can quickly realize in the part-time hobbyist world, a lot of people do this. They have relationships and the stuff can get delivered to them. Maybe you pay a little bit more, but that saves you the drive time of running the routes. You have your inventory right there at home. But I think I would split one day for sourcing. The other day would be for listing and all of the other crap that comes along with reselling. I just think it'd be easier to have your days separated. And then I'll throw it over to you. You kind of can start diving into your 8 or 10 hour week attack.
What would you do with the other hours? Anyway, I would probably, I would get more out of the general way of sourcing. I would probably go more granular with it. And what I mean by that is I probably buy out collections. Like I know going in there, I'm there to spend money. So that also means I'm going to pay up, but I'm going to get exactly what I want all the time. And in doing so, my ASP would go up, but my COGS would also go up. But I would spend less hours sourcing and processing and be more granularly focused with my time. Like I want $200 items and I want to spend $30 each time. That'd probably be a model I would go into if I was doing a 10-hour week thing.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of smart. You carry less inventory. I don't think you want to be, you know, the crazy person that has to list all these damn DVDs every single week if you only have 8 to 10 hours. I think instead of listing 100 used DVDs, you maybe spend up and get 10 new DVDs that you pay, you know, 10x for, but you make 5x on the back end. Yep. I think that is the correct approach. I think people that are part-time, they just try to act like full-timers and it sinks their ship instead of just realizing, hey, I have 8 hours a week. Here's exactly what I need to do to make X amount of dollars. And you should be also focused on the path of least resistance, because a lot of these people that are hobbyists or super part-time, they have other obligations. They have a full-time job. They have family. They have loved ones they need to care for. It is a lot. So when you overwhelm yourself with your little side hustle you have going, especially if you don't see results right away, you're defeated right out the gate, because I get defeated and I do this on full-time hours across the board. But like, if I don't have a good month or I have a bad day, like I'm down in the dumps and I don't have to deal with all the other obligations that these hobbyists have to deal with. I don't have to get up and go to work in the morning and be pissed off that I just spent 3 hours last night listing stuff that maybe we'll never sell.
Another model, if I didn't want to go out to source and stay in to source, I would switch to online shopping. I would go on those Whatnot shows and find the guy who's just starting his channel and he's selling $50 items that I can get for $1 because he has zero audience. Or find the mistakes on eBay. They misspelled Easton Press. It's now Peaston Press. No one's going to find that. And I'd buy their, or send them an offer because it's been sitting there for 3 years and they're going to take it. And then I'm going to flip it and spell it correctly and make some money. And the biggest benefit is all that inventory comes to my door. I just got to walk 10 steps and walk 10 steps back and then open it up and do my thing.
Yeah, dude, that, I think that is probably the most important thing part-time is. You can't be out running around to all the thrift stores like us full-timers do, because you don't have the time. So I think figuring out what business model you want to have, what types of items you want to sell, and figuring out the path of least resistance to get them, even if that means you pay more money, as long as we're making money on the back end, guys, it's okay to spend $50 on an item if you're going to make $50 on that item when it sells, right? So you buy it for 50, you sell it for 125. After fees, you still make $50. I think the whole reselling idea is, well, go to garage sales and flea markets, and that is a grind. And if you're a part-timer, you can't afford to be out here grinding. Maybe you can, but what are you losing of when it comes to quality of life, right? Like, I know there's people out there that are part-time that have the obligations that are, uplisting things past midnight, right? I think to myself, dude, I can't tell you that. I don't even stay up to midnight when it's New Year's Eve, all right? So, like, I'm out, and there's people out here that are actually doing that, and I just want those people to be rewarded on the back end for the sacrifices you make, especially when you have obligations in life. If you're doing this and you're not getting results, or you're doing this and it's not worth it, you gotta make a change. You gotta find better items. The end goal should be you should list something today and it should sell today, and you make money every single day.
Right, and if you're wondering, okay, bulk sellers, then why don't you do that at scale? Well, it takes longer to find those items. It's a different type of grind, and repeating it over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's doable, don't get me wrong, but it's for time management. I think what we're talking about for the least amount of hours for the most bang for buck, those are probably some good approaches. There are some other ones we haven't mentioned, but if we were to do that at 60, 50, 40, 30 hours a week, it would take us a while to find all the local deals if we were going out. And we may have to drive 3 hours to go see that one collection one way and then another 3 hours back. It doesn't include all the processing and separating and all that time. That's a different type of grind and it would be exhausting, but I think it's harder to scale that versus what we do, which is we'll go to the thrift store, we'll scan everything, literally everything, and just take home the good stuff, right? Or whatever our margins are acceptable, like a stack of $10 items, we'll do that all day long versus you who has this much amount of time, that would probably be unappealing to you. You worked for a week, your work week's different than our work week for $100 versus we do that same task in, I mean, we do it less than a day where it takes you all week to do that kind of deal.
I think the big thing too is, honestly, like if you had to wipe me out today and I had to start back over and I only had 8 hours.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at gotolister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
This, I'm not going to make enough with my used DVDs. I'm going to have to go for the better items, and I would go for better items. I would focus on high-end items that are going to sell immediately. So if it was, I say this publicly all the time, if my business was harder than it actually was, I would probably pivot to a more desirable item, a more desirable category, 100%. But I've already laid the groundwork over the last 5 years. I already have all the relationships with the thrift stores, the libraries. It is not hard for me. Now, to build this back up from nothing, putting in 8 hours a week would be a monumental task. But if I had to reset everything, I would do exactly what we're talking about. I'm going to look to flip items online, even if that means I have to pay up. They're going to be desirable items. Sure. Am I not making $10 on the DVD? 100%. Am I not getting it for 50 cents? Yes. I'm going to spend up, but you make more money quicker because you're buying more desirable items. You got to prioritize your time so much. And it's tough in the beginning because most people reselling, we start with no dollars. We're all broke boys and girls out there in the universe. We start reselling because we want to make extra money. And this business model me and Johnny are talking about, you usually have to pay up for these items. If you're going to flip
Yes.
the iPhones, you're going to pay $150 to sell it for $200 on Facebook Marketplace. But all he did was turn $150 into $200. You literally made $50 just by going and giving somebody $150 and then you going and taking $200 from somebody else. That's the reality you got to be in.
Right. I look over at the card market and the video game market, the resellers of those, they don't mind paying 80% of market value because they know it'll sell pretty much within the week or month that they list it. because they are selling a desirable, rabid fan base industry. That's who they're selling to. Versus what we do, we sell for people who they're maybe watching their budget. If they want, I don't know, Sharknado, they're not going to pay more than $20 for that, and that's probably new at most. But another thing is like the Easton Press. If you were to take that model and you're just looking specifically for that high-end boutique label stuff, those don't come up every day, and they certainly don't come up at the right price every day. And when they do, you may have to go three states over. You may have to factor in a plane ticket in your cost of goods, or a train ticket, or your gas bill if you really just want to drive over. But I think your sourcing bubble on the going out part is going to be gigantic, because you're wanting to be at the right place at the right time and spend the right amount of money to get these desirable items. And that's where we're going to require a lot of route planning and research, and the seller being willing to come down to a reasonable level, because they'll start here because they know what they got usually, but you want it for this, so you got to figure out how to negotiate, and that may make or break a deal, and you may come home with nothing, and you got to be okay with coming home with nothing.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing. You have to be okay with you're only putting in 8 to 10 hours a week, right? Like, those are the results you're going to get. There's plenty of people out there that put in this little bit amount of work and make a nice chunk of money every single month selling on eBay and Amazon and anywhere in the universe. But it takes time to get there. It takes time to find the relationships. A lot of people that do bulk media that have only part-time hours, this stuff gets delivered to them, or they're on Facebook Marketplace looking for the person that's selling. The 10,000 DVDs at 10 cents a piece, or the CDs at 10 cents a piece. And then they have the inventory at home. So you lose, you well, you don't lose. You get back that day you spend sourcing, and now you can just literally source from your garage. So you get more of your time back, which means you can scan through more inventory, which means in theory, you're going to find more inventory and make more money on the back end.
Right. And then you got the table of books, or the table of CDs or DVDs that require research time. I don't think research time on a part-time or hobbyist level, I mean, it can be worth it, don't get me wrong, but by and large of your working time, you're not making any money doing the research, and but that's debatable, because you could, oh, here's a $15,000 antiquarian book. Good for you, buddy. But how often does that come up? Not very often with research. I've looked at lots of old books, and very rarely you're pushing it at $100, but a lot of them are $10 books, honestly. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's valuable. And I
Yeah.
think there's a lot of time wasted in these components that could make us money. We already have it, but on a part-time hobbyist level, I think you should just go for the guarantees. Like, you know what it is. You know what it sells for. You just need to buy it for the right price.
I'm about if you put me down to 8 hours a week, I would be looking for all the shortcuts, dude. I'm talking listing software for eBay, just anything I can get. There's a program out there now. I'm not sure if you've seen it. You can upload a picture of a bookshelf and it'll actually pull out what is actually like it'll I personally haven't tried it. The one of the softwares reached out to me on Instagram and like, hey, we got this software, we want you to try it. Whatever. I guess I'm such a hot shot. They're like, here, try it, right? But I seen like the examples of it. And it's not like you can't do like a crazy bookshelf like behind me, right? Like if you guys are watching
That's
on
too many,
YouTube. Yeah, it's kind of limited right now. But like those types of innovations in the resale market, I think have made it easier for you to get some of your time back, right? Some of the listing software, it's not the greatest on eBay, it's not perfect. But it is going to help you along the way when it comes to the actual time you spend. I'm currently using one, and it just automatically pulls like stock photos in, right? So like, there's no effort on my end. If you were selling the types of items that I sell on eBay, you really don't need actual photos of it. And that's another thing to take into consideration when you figure out what you want to sell. When you sell new items, can you use stock photos? Are you going to sell used items where you need to take your own photos? These are all calculated, things you have to think about when it comes to, I only got 8 hours a week.
Right, and I've seen some people use like the Google glasses and use programs like you're talking about, and they're like Terminator 2. They're just scanning stuff, right? Valuable, valuable, worthless, worthless kind of deal. And they'll pull up eBay comps or whatever with their glasses. It's neat, but that technology is in its infancy stage. It's got its limitations, but we see it coming. We know it's going to be better over time. And yeah, you're right. You should lean heavy in technology and as much automation and as much streamlining as possible, because your time is spent in the buy. That's where you're going to make your money, right? And the technology is to help you buy more, because you're going to sell more frequently, assuming you know what you're doing. And the more time you spend buying with those 8 hours that we're talking about, the more money you're going to make. So you got to figure out how much of my time can I spend buying versus the grunt work, we'll call it.
It goes down, especially if you're shipping your own items. It's much easier to ship 100 DVDs endlessly than it is to ship Johnny's books, because one is this size, the next one is 2 feet wide and 10 pounds, and the next one is a lot smaller. There's little things like that. Imagine if we could sell the same size widget that fits in the same size box and it actually sold all the time. We could literally have these things boxed up, ready to go, Johnny. The order comes in, we slap the label on, it's already got the weight. You don't even got to weigh each thing individually. Dude, sign me up. I'm ready today, Johnny. If you have that opportunity, I'm on board.
Right, but instead of selling like that stack you're talking about, I'm talking about selling same size, but let's call it the Criterion Collection. It's a box of Criterion Collection. That's a much better box than whatever you're shoving in your box. No offense.
Exactly. So if you can find, and these opportunities are out there, the margins might be less, but who cares? You're still making plenty of
The
money.
sell-through rate, though.
That's what
Yeah.
I'm talking about. And I think people get so caught up with, I got to spend 50 to make $20, but like you literally flipped $50 into $70 today, right? These aren't, we're not saying buy shitty items that are never going to sell. This business model, you're selling desirable items. You're the iPhone seller. You're selling the gold bars or whatever it may be. There's so many different things out there that you can make money on. One thing, it's pretty crazy when I go down like these different rabbit holes and like I'm looking up horror books for myself or like weird kind of obscure electronics. And it's like there's a market for so many weird things out there. If you can just figure out how you can obtain those items at scale, and maybe not even really at scale. Maybe it's that one item you only sell once a month, but you spend $500 for it and it sells for $1,250 and you make $600 a month, and all you had to do was one listing a month and it took no effort from you. That's it.
There's a lot of sell-through in horror. It's finding out what in the horror genre has a decent margin to it. Like the Goosebumps. Yeah, there's money in the whole set. There's very little money in trying to sell those things individually, or it takes a little while longer, I think. The individual does have a decent sell-through rate, but I'd rather, if I had an opportunity to buy somebody's whole Goosebump collection for like, I don't know, 250, and then I could flip it for $600, $700, absolutely.
Yeah, it's less work too, because all you're doing is boxing up that one set, right? I
Yeah,
remember
it's one thing.
when I used to do the sets, Johnny, back when I used to be a psychomaniac, I'm doing sets on eBay. I mean, that's back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, right? Like, I would list it and I would box it immediately. And I'd write on the side of the box, like, Goosebumps set or like, whatever the hell, Dragonlance, right? So I know I get the order, it's already boxed up. I tried to make it as painless as possible. And like Johnny's saying, if we can get the whole set, sell one item instead of selling 250 individual Goosebump books, I quit. I'm out. I quit reselling.
It
Don't
takes
even
more time to list those things individually as well.
more trips to the post office, more packing materials, definitely more time because every one of those got to go in a poly mailer or a box. There's lots of factors we don't consider, but I will say this, dude, there's a lot of people that are super part-time that are absolutely crushing it, and you'll never see them on YouTube and you'll never see them in the groups because guess what? They ain't got the time.
Yeah, they're sticking to their 8 hours. They don't got time for us.
They're like, eight
Good for
hours,
them.
I'm done. Who gives a shit about the weekly calls?
If you're so successful that you don't got time to attend calls or respond to messages, you're doing it right. Keep on doing what you're doing and do your business to the best of your capability. And these other obligations, and these other, I'm not going to call them waste of time, but we're calling them time investment sinks. You should just stick to what's working and compound on that. I'd rather you do that than come to any call. I'd rather you make a lot of money in 2 hours than you would spend 2 hours with us just noodling and conceptualizing ideas and theorizing.
Yeah, it motivates me though. When I talk to these people, especially like in one-on-ones, I'm like, Damn, you have all these obligations, right? Like, I don't have any of those. So, like, I have no excuse not to get results because this person's over here with all these obligations, putting in the most effort and the time they sit down to be a reseller, and they are getting crazy results. I can barely keep myself afloat, right? Like, feeding the cats, it's just me and Deb, right? Like, we have days, weeks, months where we're like, our asses are kicked, and like, these other people have crazy obligations. I'm like, hey, we it could be a lot worse.
I know a lady, she's super successful. She has like three brick and mortars, very successful eBay business, and kids. And she's got the soccer mom van, and whenever she's on a call, she rarely talks. But she's trucking along, dropping kids off to soccer practice, heading over to the next brick and mortar. She's got multiple employees to manage these things. She's just a trucking all the time, full blown force. And on top of running a family, and she does have a husband as well. He chips in, but he's kind of in the He's doing whatever. She's running the business, and she just does a phenomenal job, knocks it out of the park. But she hardly ever talks. We hardly ever see her on a call. But every time we see her, we're like, how's it going? And she's just like, hi, back off. I got stuff to do. I'm making money.
They're just like, hey, I'm just checking in to make sure you're still doing okay, because I'm still
She's
coming
checking
to.
in on us. That's
Yep.
right.
Yep. It's pretty crazy. I do appreciate the super part-timers, the hobbyists, right? We got a lot of people that are retired that just like the extra money, and I think it's crazy that they can make money sending stuff to Amazon and getting paid for it. It's such a great opportunity. And it's super eye-opening, and it's super, super motivating. It should be for everybody, because if they can do it with their obligations and the small amount of time they have, then me and Johnny sure as hell ain't got no excuse. We can't even bring up the word excuse when we talk to these people, because they're like, wait a minute, I got a full-time job, I got this, I got that. Me and Johnny like, yeah, we just record podcasts. We're just, we're gurus on YouTube, right? Like, we got no excuse not to make any money.
We're in the pool with floaties, drinking mojitos or something.
It's a lot though. I mean, there's a lot to it, and it's hard to be part-time, but you can make a lot of money part-time reselling versus going and picking up an extra part-time job. But you got to be calculated, because like we're talking about, there's a lot of people that start this business and they spend a lot of money in the beginning and they make absolutely no money, and it turns into a waste. It's not Reselling is not for everybody. Entrepreneurship is not for everybody. It sounds great on social media. It sounds great. Me and Johnny are promising you the riches of $50+ an hour, super part time, right? But it takes time to get there. You're going to have to build relationships. It's going to sacrifice, right? If you have full time commitments, anything else you do, you're sacrificing time for those other commitments to focus on this little business. And the sacrifice has to be worth it. That's what we try to get to you. If you're going to make sacrifices, there has to be a payoff. We can't continue to dump money, dump hours of our time, of our dollars, and we don't get rewarded on the back end. Now, not everything's going to be successful. Nothing's guaranteed, especially in resale. Nothing's guaranteed. But we can kind of stack the deck in our favor so that hopefully we get blackjack and the dealer bust every single time. We kind of can cheat a little bit and do things up front and overanalyze. And sometimes that's good, because you go in feeling like you're fully prepared versus just flying by the seat of your pants.
Right, and I think, and I haven't said in a while, Mike's been very proud of me. There's a little check mark for how long there's a time or a counter for how many days and weeks have gone without saying it. But it's your profit per hour. Your time is more precious, and you got to maximize your time so efficiently, where an hour of your time may be $250 an hour. I mean, you can only maybe max out at 8 hours at that, but that's a lot more valuable than a $25 an hour in the same 8 hours. So the allure of spending your $50 to go to the thrift store versus maybe spending $50 for one item that nets you more money, it's tempting to go for the bulk, right? But for you, with your precious time, it's probably more advantageous to spend the 50 for the one item.
If it sounds fun and cool, don't let that make the decision for you. I want it to be profitable, right? It sounds fun and cool to buy a mystery box. It sounds fun and cool to go pick up a house full of books and you have no idea what it is. Well, you as the person that don't have the time, leave the fun and cool behind. Your focus should be making as much money as you can in a little bit of time. And I mean, I think about this, we have like a bunch of little local like car lots, right? Like, if they're buying cars for 5,000 and they're selling them for eight, They don't need to sell out their whole inventory every single month. They just sell a few of them. They got thousands and thousands of dollars coming in. And it's kind of the same mentality as you go up the ladder, as you spend more money on items, usually your margin goes down, but your actual money coming in goes up because you're not making a dollar per DVD. Now you're making $50 per DVD, but it's not the same margin because you didn't get the DVD for 10 cents. So that's a, 1,000% margin. Maybe you paid $50 for the DVD to make $50, and now it's only 100% margin. And you're not as cool as me now, I guess.
I have a friend who is a bookseller, and he's an older gentleman now, and he has switched business models in his later years in life. He only sells four plus figure books these days. And he told me something a bit ago. I wish I had done this when I was your age. And because he was selling $10 books for a long time, and he made money doing that. But he's making more money now than he did 20 years ago selling those $10 books. And he's got less time now because he's up there in years. And that's something I've been keeping in mind lately and been making business adjustments toward that because I don't want to be his age and like I should have been doing this all along, right? So it's kind of like take a minute and think about what you really want to be doing.
It's the same idea, like when somebody sends you a box, and it's junk, you don't waste your time with it, right? It just
No, I'll
goes
go
to
straight to the bin. Done.
maybe Johnny 5 years ago would be like, oh, I'm just going to try to list this and sell it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm probably going to be doubling up on what I actually personally list going in the new year here. Few exceptions, of course, but yeah, I think that's a necessary thing for me.
I love the idea of more desirable items, and I'll be straight up with you. For the longest time, it pained me to spend more than like $5 on an item from a thrift store, right? Because that's just how I was wired. I was broke the whole damn time. And I finally got it to a point where, I can go to a record shop, and if it's profitable and they want $25 for it, it doesn't sting. Maybe a little bit, but it don't sting like it used to, right? I'm fine with spending more money because I have the data in front of me on my phone that shows I'm going to make my money back plus X amount percent, right? So it's tough. It's growing pains. And I think if you're super part-time, you don't even have to worry about that because maybe you're brand new into this or you've been doing it for a while. You see, hey, I can make more money by selling less items if they're higher dollar items. That should be the focus if you're going to do this 8 to 10 hours a week. And honestly, I think, I wish I could do that straight up. I mean, I wish I could do that. I think about it all the time. Is it worth sending hundreds, thousands of DVDs, books, CDs every single month? I mean, if you tell me I could send 100 instead and I just have to spend some more money, but it has a faster sell-through, I'd be lying if I say that doesn't sound amazing and like sign me up today. I just have the relationships. I have my routes. I guess it's complacent of me, but this works the way it does. So I'm
It's what
not.
you're used to. It's what you know. And having to shift a business model, that's a hard pill to swallow because, like, what you're doing is not technically not working, but is there a smarter way to manage my time for my money? I just have to pay a little bit more. I can make the same or even more by working less. That's what? No, that's not, get away from me. No, you should probably embrace that. I mean, we all should, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't work as much in reselling as most people do, and I feel like I make a decent income. I mean, I have all these other obligations, but you could probably sit here and argue and be 100% right that if I decided to go do a different business model and spend my 20 hours a week selling higher end items and spending more money, you'd probably be 100% correct that I would make more money on the back end, just to be straight up with everybody. I mean, that's just the reality of it. If I could find these desirable items, or I have that type of inventory available to me, or maybe I start building those relationships now so I can get out of media because it's the end of times. Nobody buys DVDs. Cars don't even have CD players. Cassettes? Sorry, what the hell is a cassette? But I mean, I'll cross that bridge when I get there. I enjoy what I do now. I think it's fun to go out and scan all the Barney DVDs and make money selling that type of stuff. And I'm not fully against having to switch business models if it does come down to it, but for what I got going, it's not that hard. So I'm not gonna break
I
something
mean,
if
there
it's not
is the
broke.
rule of maintenance. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, for you, it's not broke, right? But there may
Exactly.
become a time where, I don't know, and I'm not knock on wood here. Like, I don't know, you dislocate your knee or your hip and you can't bend down on those bottom shelves where the money books are anymore. And maybe it's time to switch things up at that point.
Or I just get one of those claw things, right? And pull it
Yeah.
out. Or I just have the maybe the app, where I can just take a photo. Maybe that gets better and it can do the whole bookcase, dude. And then I can just kick it out and grab it or have somebody come grab it for me.
You pull the old man card. Hey, employee that's 50 years younger than me, come get these books, youngster.
Yes. We appreciate you part-timers. We know how much it means to you to spend your time on a side hustle, and we know a lot of you are out there kicking ass, taking names, and making, I would argue there's a lot more people that are part-time or hobbyists making more money than a lot of full-timers who just spin their wheels and waste their damn time. So, John, you got anything to add before we call it?
Whatever you decide to do, do it with excellence and a service to yourself, and get your time, either your time back or make more money with the time you already have. And it does require you to put on your thinking cap and a little bit of effort, but if you want to, I think, have a better quality of life, that's a necessary thing that needs to be done, and that's all up to you.
Couldn't said it better myself. We'll talk to y'all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.